Let's sing a song that the children enjoy in the back page, number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Let's stand again, number 40. Jesus loves me, this I know. According to Luke chapter 2, a few verses. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read from the 8th verse. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. My friend, tonight we want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, that Savior of sinners. We've been singing about Him. We've sung together the question, Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? This is a serious issue for us tonight, because in our prayer meeting before this gospel meeting, There was a prayer that went up for those in this room that are not saved. And so I would ask all those that are saved, please pray, because with prayer there can be souls saved. It's not what I say or who I am. It's the Word of God. So let's pray together for someone who may still not be saved this evening. We have here the account of some poor people. And before I talk about this, I want to tell you a little story. A couple of years ago, I was sitting at the airport in Toronto waiting for my good brother and friend Bill Prost to come in with some young people. And I was sitting on one of the chairs, and I was reading a paper that I had picked up, a Daily Bread paper. I was enjoying the story, and as I was bent over, I was a tap on my shoulder, and I heard a man's voice saying, "Say, could you spare $20 for a cup of coffee?" Well, I was a little astounded. I didn't even raise my head, but I looked up a bit, saw nice, clean-cut running shoes. I looked a little higher, nice, clean jeans. I looked up in the face of Dave Martin, $20 for a cup of coffee. I didn't even buy him a cup of coffee because I felt embarrassed that I was giving him the cold shoulder. Well, we don't want to give anybody the cold shoulder here. If you're poor, my friend, it doesn't matter. If you're rich, it doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born, had angels announce his birth. As we read here, there were shepherds, poor shepherds out in the field looking after the sheep. And the angel of the Lord came down to them and said, "I've got some good news for you. And I have good news for you, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, came into this world to look and to save you tonight." What a wonderful thing it is to accept Jesus as your Savior. Well, you know the first thing we want to try and establish is, why did Jesus have to come? And who was Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Always was, always will be. Perfect in every detail. Could not sin. He is the Savior. He came into this world as a baby born in a manger. He was born of a virgin. Do we understand that? No, we accept it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which we hold in our hands this evening. These poor shepherds were there. And can you imagine the darkness of that scene? It tells us it was night. In fact, I'd like to talk about the night and the twilight and so on a little bit. But it was nighttime. They were slumbering, but they were watching their sheep. And so, you know, I noticed in our meetings today, as I was seeing mothers and dads, yes, and grandfathers and grandmothers sitting, they were watching their children during meetings, as to what was going on, whether they were paying attention or whether they were being distracted. You know, I'm so pleased to be able to say that I was sitting amongst a group of young people my age, young people, you know, my age, and they were paying attention. What a wonderful thing it is when we hear the Word of God being ministered and people are paying attention. But did you understand what we were talking about if you were here? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you've heard it so often, and you're not taking it in. You're just coming because you've been told to come. Oh, my friend, it's a critical time. I have a newspaper clipping here that I brought with me, which some brother took the time to send to me, and I had read it before, but it is so impactful. You know, here in Canada, we had a very sad situation that happened a couple of weeks ago when four young Our Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers were killed in cold blood, shot to death, four of them, by a man who then committed suicide. And what a waste of life, all in their 20s. But there was something that one of these young men said to his father as they were discussing the matter of him joining the RCMP. He said this to his father, quote, "If something should happen, you won't need to worry. I'll be with Jesus in heaven." This man, Sheeman, is with Jesus in heaven tonight. He died. He went to work that morning, and he was shot to death, and he was immediately taken into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reality, my friend,
If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you should die in your sins, you're lost forever. If you heard the gospel message and you've turned a deaf ear to it, as some of you might, young people, maybe you've heard it many times, I know you have. Have you accepted Jesus as Savior? This is an urgent message. We're on the brink of something really big happening. And that is Jesus is coming. Jesus came to these shepherds and said, the angels came to these shepherds and said, there's something special happening tonight. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Scripture is so accurate, it gives us all the details. It says when? Today. It said where? In the city of David. And it says what? A Savior. And it's a message. My friend, I believe that most of you have heard the message. But I was talking to a couple of brothers and some sisters before this meeting. And they all said, I believe in a crowd this size, there are some that are not saved yet. That worries me. That concerns me. Because if Jesus should come tonight and you're not saved, you're going to remain behind. Some years ago, they were having a birthday party about this time of year for myself. My son and his wife were all born on the same day. And they were having a party, and they had to go out and get some supplies. And mother took some of her children with her, and then hurried back because she wanted to be at the party on time. And lo and behold, she was only there a few minutes when she realized that one of the children had been left behind. Oh, what a tragic thing it is if you leave your child behind. We knew where he was, and he was safe, and he was waiting. But my friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes and you're not saved, there is no second chance for you. Clearly, on the grounds of what this Bible tells us, the book, God's Word tells us, there is no chance. There is no second chance. Well, these people, these shepherds, heard the message. They were told what they would find. And then it says, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which the Lord is, this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Oh, you know, my friend, I would suggest you come with haste. God's Word says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You may not have later this evening. You may not have tomorrow. You may, but we don't know. It tells us the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Jesus is coming. These shepherds were not going to take any second thought about it. They went immediately and they discovered Jesus. Let's read a little bit about Jesus. He grew up to be a man and he did some wonderful things. I just want to read one account in Matthew 14. Just read a few verses there. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15. Here was Jesus having a conference with a lot of people, and it tells us there, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Is there someone here who is looking for some spiritual food? You feel an emptiness in your heart. You feel that there's something missing. You see the turmoil around you. You see the tragedies that are happening. I don't have to outline what those tragedies are, you know. And perhaps there are some in this room who have faced some of these tragedies. And they don't know what to do about it. My dear young friend, are you in trouble in some kind, whatever the trouble may be? Are you in some kind of a trouble? Jesus is there to help you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a guarantee according to the Word of God. Are you in some kind of trouble? Come. Don't wait till the end of this meeting. Come right now. You can accept Jesus as Savior where you are. Here was Jesus. He was out there in the field, and it was evening time. The shepherds, was it nighttime? Here it was evening time, and it was supper time, and there was nothing to eat. Not like all of us here had such a wonderful meal for supper time. There was plenty to eat. Someone had so much to eat at lunchtime, they didn't want to eat at supper time. I ate at supper time. Oh, we love to eat, but is there a void in your heart tonight, my friend? Is there a void in your heart tonight? These people were all hungry. They all needed to eat. And it says here, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place." Don't you think the Lord knew that? We're living in a desert place, my friend. We're living in an area, we're living in a time of year when there's so many things happening that we can't keep up with it. Oh, I'm not saying that in Canada and the United States we don't have all these good things, and we do. What are we doing about it? Are we taking advantage of those things that God has blessed us with, or are we squandering it? Are we saying, "Well, I want my education, I want my freedom, I want my liberty, I want to do what I want to do"? You know about that. Not only young people, not only children, but older ones too. I want to do it my way. You know that's the way it was in the Judges. It tells us there that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we see that happening in the political world, in the business world, and we see it happening in the home. We see it happening in the home. Children want to have their own way. And parents feel that they want to give in. Oh, my beloved moms and dads here this evening, don't give in to the pressures of this world. Your children are a precious commodity. You know, your grandchildren are too. We were babysitting some grandchildren just a week ago, and we were taking them to school the next morning. I was driving them to school, and I just got off the driveway, and one of my grandchildren said, "Grandpa, we didn't pray. Grandpa, we didn't pray." 8 years of age. Well, we had prayed that morning at the table, but we hadn't prayed separately for the Lord to keep these children in school. And she remembered. She missed it. Mom and Dad were away. They had prayed with her often. I said, "You're right." We pulled to the side of the road and we prayed. Oh, a little child shall lead them. A little child shall lead them. Isn't it wonderful when the children are taught to pray in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like to pray tonight? Do you know how to be saved? The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. That being the case, we're all bad. Rotten is what Isaiah tells us. From the top of our head to the tip of our toes. Read it in the first chapter of Isaiah. Rotten. That's us. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Are you still trying to do it on your own strength? You can't do it. You can't do it. There is only one Savior. There's only one way. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so tonight you can't count on your boyfriend sitting beside you, or your girlfriend, or your mom, or your dad. You have to make that decision yourself. And the Bible also says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, here they were in a desert place. And they said, the time is now past. They were at the point of no return. The stores were all closed. The sun was setting. And they were hungry. The sun has set here. The sun has set. It's getting dark outside. It's cool outside. It's warm inside. And you are inside. You're hearing the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The time has passed. They're in a desert place. Send the multitude away. I would have been so sad if Ernie had said before the gospel meeting, I'm sending you all home. It's no point. We can't do that. There's still time. I don't know how much time. We can't send you away without the realization that if you're not saved, you're lost. And if you're lost, you're headed on the broad road that leads to destruction. The Bible refers to it as hell. You've heard that word before? Before I was retired, I heard it so often in the office. And you know, it's sad to say that sometimes you get used to that word. Oh, how terrible to think that there might be children and young people here that will find themselves in a lost eternity. Oh, please don't do it. I know that the enemy is very busy trying to say, don't listen to that man. All right, listen to the Word of God. You don't have to listen to me. Listen to what the Word of God has to say. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy food. You're trying to find your own way through this scene? There are many that are trying to do just that. I said it before. They want to do it their own way. Buy. You cannot buy your salvation. I was reading a story about a man who is worth many billions of dollars. And he has literally everything. My son showed me a magazine of some of the things that he owns. All for the display and the consumption and the envy of you and I. To stir up that desire, that envy for those kind of things. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, every one of those things are going to be destroyed. His boats, his cars, his buildings, his money, his everything. And I think I'm right in saying there isn't one person in this room that falls anywhere near that category. But even the small things that you have, they're all going to be destroyed. You know, even our health can go. Can happen very quickly. You know, I said back in the mid-1990s that I was never going to retire, at least not for a long time in the distant future. And then suddenly, just like that, pain in the chest stopped right there. Well, I had made a declaration. I had to go back on that. But you know, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was a young lad. And so I knew that when that all changed, it didn't matter. At first I thought, oh man, I'd love to go back to the office again. But you know, once I found out that I couldn't go back, it took me but 5 minutes to get used to it. Wonderful! Now we could direct our energies somewhere else. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know Jesus as Savior. Well, they said, the disciples did the natural thing. Let them go and buy some food. They're hungry. Let them go and buy it. Oh, no. There's a lost and starving and hungry world out there. And there may be a few in this room who find themselves in that category. You know, it's interesting, after gospel meetings, sometimes I like to, after the meeting, just wander around and ask some of the particular children whether they know Jesus as their Savior. I did that one time a number of years ago, and there was a young lad. I saw him there, and he wasn't walking very quickly, and I'd spoken to a few others, and they'd given me an answer. But this young lad, I said, "Do you know Jesus as your Savior?" He said, "Nope." "Do you know about Jesus?" "Yep." Well, I knew that was true because I knew his parents. I said, "Would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior?" He says, "Yep." He did. But did you say, well, didn't he have to wait a little? Did he have to test him? I don't see anything in the Word of God that says that. This young man, he knelt down and he asked Jesus to wash his sins away. Now, wonderful, he's saved. And I said to this young lad, 7 years of age, "You know something? You and I are now brothers in Christ because I know Jesus as my Savior and so do you." Oh, what a wonderful thing to see even one soul saved. Well, there were prayers tonight that there would be no one leave the room tonight and not be saved. You're going to make a decision tonight if you don't know Jesus as your Savior already. You may decide to leave this hall and you may not get another chance. This may be your last opportunity. I don't know. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Those four police officers that walked into this trap and were killed, they had no idea that when they left that morning, that this would be their last reporting for duty. As I looked at that newspaper and I saw the sea of redcoats, as they all came to give recognition to their fallen comrades, and I saw those four officers on the front page of the newspaper with a cushion and a cap or a hat of these four officers as they walked down. Tough police officers with tears streaming down their face at the loss of four of their comrades. Will those tears make any difference to the Lord? If the other three officers weren't saved, one other one I understand might have been, it's too late. Tears are too late. Tears are too late. I have a little brother who died. He's 10 years of age. His sister was crying at his bedside as he was slipping away, and he said, "Don't cry for me. I'm going home. I'm going home. It's like it's time for supper. I'm going home." We didn't cry for him. It was just such a touching scene that he knew he was going home to be with Jesus. My friend, it's too late to cry for these officers. Yeah, it's a very touching scene, very sad, but the tears will not avail them anything. Well, Jesus said to them, "Give ye them to eat." That's what Ernie Walker said to me when we arrived here. He didn't put it in these words, but can I put it this way? Give them something to eat. Give them the gospel message. That's my responsibility. This, from the time that he asked up to the time of standing up here, there was a lot of heaviness in my soul. Not because you can't preach the gospel. That's probably not the difficult part. It's just a burden for those that are lost and not paying attention. I'm a father of five children. Children don't always pay attention. They don't always follow instructions. But there comes a time when the voice gets a little stronger. And then if there isn't paying attention, then there's action. Something has to be done. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. We sang "Jesus Loves Me." Oh, I love to hear the singing. Last night we were singing together. So beautiful to sing the praises of the Lord. You know, we had a wedding with one of our sons, and we had found an old tape. And it was taped, when he was just a little fellow, about 4 years of age, and he loved to sing. And one of the songs he loved to sing was, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." And that clear, beautiful voice was on that tape. "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." They played it once. Then they played it the second time, a little louder. "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." They sang it a third time. They repeated it. By the time they sang it the fourth time, there was a lot of giggling and laughing. Well, you know, we have been blessed with so many good things. Family, friends, food, comforts. Here was this song. This young man who is getting married, and he heard his voice when he was 4 years of age. "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Give ye them to eat." Let's turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we'll read in verse 30. Let's go back a little further. Let's go to the 27th verse. "And after the sop, Satan entered into him," Judas. "Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor." Here's the verse. "He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." It was night when the shepherds saw the angels appearing. It was evening when the Lord Jesus fed those people, 5,000, I believe. It was night when Judas, who walked with Jesus for probably about 3 years, who saw all these wonderful things that Jesus did, but he never knew Jesus as that one who was the Savior, who was going to die. And so he made a decision to get some money instead of following the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes sing that song, "I'm following Jesus." Are we really? Are you really? You following Jesus? Or are you going your own way? Judas had made a decision. He was going to betray that one whom he knew. Young people, you've been brought up in Christian homes. You've been taken to the prayer meetings, to the Bible reading meetings. You've been taken to Sunday school. You've been taken to conferences. You've heard about Jesus over and over and over again. And you're still waiting for something. What is it? What are you waiting for? Are you going to take a chance like that? He went out, and it was night. It was night. If the Lord Jesus Christ should come tonight, it would be light for many in this room. I know there would be many seats that would be empty. I wish I could say that every seat would be empty. But I know that that's not so. And so knowing that, I want you to realize that you must confess that you're bad, that you're a sinner. You were taught of an earlier. You're rotten. You're a sinner. You're bad. There is no room for sin where Jesus is. Jesus is in heaven. There is no sin in heaven, and no sin will ever get to heaven. So if you've only sinned once, you're a sinner, and you're not fit for heaven. But Jesus Christ wants to make you fit. What you have to do is accept His offer. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Judas went out into the night. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Verse 2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? Did Jesus not know what Judas was doing? Yes, he did. He knew right along what Judas was going to do. Here they come with lanterns, torches, and with weapons. Lanterns is something that gives a nice, gentle light. I'm not sure why the torches, but perhaps it was something that made it a little more intimidating to see soldiers coming by with those awful torches waving and approaching Jesus. Judas came and kissed him. What did Jesus do? He said, Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? I asked you that question, not only who are you looking for? When are you going to accept the one that has told us where he is? Jesus was born a baby in the manger at night. Jesus looked after the needs of his people in the evening. Jesus knew the heart of Judas who went out into the night. And Jesus knew that Judas and company were on the way to take him. And rough hands bound Jesus' hands, and they led him away. They led Jesus away. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! What kind of judgment was that? You see, we're living in a civilized country, but what would happen in the courts today if this scene was repeated? Would they say that this man has his rights and should be heard? You know, I quite frankly doubt it, because I think we see the evidence around us that the men and the women and the children don't want Jesus. Oh, I pray there is no one in this room that would say that. Here's Jesus in the presence of Pilate, the man who said he had the authority to release him. He couldn't find any fault with him. Just recently in our courts, there was a multi-year trial involving two men who were alleged to have been involved in that terrible Air India crash. After all the years of testimony, they came back and said they were not guilty, much to the distress of the many Indian families that had been killed in that awful crash. 300-some souls plunged into eternity. Well, I don't know all the details, but you know it has to be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were guilty. I'll tell you something, my friend. It's been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that you and I were guilty sinners, and we too were guilty of this very thing, siding with those that would dare to speak the way they did about the Lord Jesus as he remained calm. As they beat him about the head, he kept his dignity. He did not lash back at them. And man did everything they could to him. They said, "Crucify him, crucify him. Take ye him away and crucify him," is what Pilate said. Oh, he said, "I can't find any fault with him, but take him away and crucify him." Oh, you know, I almost hate to say this, but I'm so glad that Jesus gave his life on Calvary's cross for me. The works of Jesus Christ were wonderful, feeding all those people with a small lunch. But it's not the works of the Lord Jesus Christ that can save you. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. Only by the blood. Some would say today, that's violence. We can't have that. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, we can't have that. That's ugly. Yes, and that's your heart and mine. It's ugly. We did it to him. But Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Luke 23, we read, and the 39th verse, "And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss, this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened." There were 3 hours of darkness. This was the most unusual thing that happened. It was dark. And during those 3 dark hours on the cross, when Jesus hung there, something terrible happened that you and I will never fully understand. God punished his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for my sins so that I could be saved. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It tells us later on that they were very concerned that this was a religious day and the body shouldn't remain on the cross. And so they said, "You go and hasten the death of these men, break their legs so that they'll suffocate and die." When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. Oh, Jesus said, "It's finished. The work's done." Oh, my friend, isn't that good news? Where would you and I start to get our salvation? We can't do anything. Jesus did it all. But it wasn't good enough. The heart of man came forth so powerfully, and they pushed that spear into his side, and blood and water poured from his side. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus died on that cross so that you and I might be saved. that we might spend eternity with Him.
Then let's just go to the 24th chapter of Luke. We're just about finished. 24th chapter of Luke, the first verse.
Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, still dark, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And then let's go down to the fifth verse. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen.
Isn't that good news? I would say it is.
Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive today. They can't touch him again. Jesus arose from the dead, and he appeared to those that loved him. Oh, tonight, and as we were singing last night, up from the grave he arose. What a wonderful thing we have. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is not in the grave. He rose from the dead. And 50 days later, he went up to heaven. Before he went to heaven, he said, Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, for me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm going to be with Jesus soon. I expect Jesus is coming very soon. I see the signs around us as we read in God's Word in Timothy. It says, In the last days, difficult times shall come. And if you read those verses, it gives a list of some of the things. And it's exactly what's happening. Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. He wants you to come in. He's inviting you to come in. What are you going to do about it? You going to ignore it? Or are you going to accept it?
My mother went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. In her last couple of days, she was in a coma. She was a little restless. There were some special nurses that were looking after her. They knew that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. So some nurse took it upon herself to bring a little tape recorder to her bedside with hymns, German hymns, that she knew so well from the Eifengeyens hymn book. And they had it quietly playing at her bedside. She relaxed. She heard those words. It was a comfort to her soul. And she quietly slipped into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my dad is too, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, with Jesus. It's a guarantee. God's Word tells us. So now what have we been looking at? Jesus came into this world. He had to come in because He was the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus was born to die. He came into this world. He did a lot of wonderful things. And when the religious people saw what he did, they wanted to destroy him. They wanted to kill him. They captured Jesus. They had a phony trial. They nailed him to the cross. They did everything they could to him. And you and I were part of that gang. Then during those three dark hours, God punished Jesus for my sins. Jesus now says, Come unto me. I'm going to forgive you. I've died for you. I paid a big price for you.
Would you like to have that gift? He's offering it to you. The meeting's over. When this meeting's over, there's going to be an increased noise level in this room. If you're concerned about your lost soul, don't leave with the crowd, because those seeds can very quickly be snatched away. If you'd like to talk to me, I'd love that. There's others here that would love to talk to you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, why don't you speak to somebody? If you know Jesus as your Savior and you never told anybody, how about confessing Him? How about telling somebody? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.